Well, do keep that passage open in front of you as we look at our last passage in the book of Hebrews. It's been quite a trip. All right, I've got... Let us pray before we look again at God's word. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your word and we thank you for your goodness in speaking. And we pray that as we look at this section, at the last part of the book of Hebrews, that you would open our eyes to see and understand and our hearts to believe, that we might live as your saved people in a way that is bringing honour to you. Amen. Prayer. It's one of those things that we all know that we should do, but we sometimes struggle to do regularly. And part of that struggle is sometimes knowing what to pray for people. Should we just pray that God would make them happy? Or should we pray that God would bless them? But what does that mean? What is it that God would want us to pray for people? Well, the good news is our passage today gives us some information on that. It is the prayer time of the book of Hebrews. It is our last passage in the book of Hebrews. And our writer focuses in this passage largely on prayer. And the thing he does first is ask for prayer in verse 18. Have a look again at verse 18. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honourably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. So the writer to the book of Hebrews asks for prayer. And he asks that his readers call on God for himself and for his friends. The second sentence is the reason to pray. And he is saying, well, we're worthy of prayer. But it also gives us an indication of what to pray for. He wants to genuinely live in a godly way, in verse 18. And so obviously the content of such prayer ought to then link to that. That's what Paul, that's what the writer is asking for, then that's what a good thing to pray for. Prayer to live honourably in a godly way. And as I reflected on this verse, as I was thinking about this passage, I was wondering, is that how we often pray? The prayer book, speaking as an Anglican for a moment, does this very well. If you read through the prayers in the prayer book, it prays that Christian leaders of all kinds might be godly and live honourably. And that's a good thing to pray for anyone. And so, friends, let me encourage you from this verse that when you pray for people, don't just pray for their health and well-being, but pray for their spiritual health and their spiritual well-being. Pray that they might live honourably in a godly manner. And the writer goes on in verse 19 to detail then a specific prayer point that he has for them. Pray, he says, for a restoration. It would appear that the writer has been somehow detained. And if the writer were the Apostle Paul, it would be most likely when Paul was detained in Rome by the authorities for telling people about Jesus. And this is the most natural fit for both the timing of the letter and the connections that we'll see later on in the passage. But whatever the identity of the author, this is a cry for freedom. Please pray and ask that God would free us so that we can see yous again. Friends, it is a great thing to pray for the release of Christians who have been jailed because they follow Jesus. And yes, there are a lot of people around the world who've been jailed and in jail right now because they trust and follow Jesus. It's a good thing to pray that they would be godly and keep trusting Jesus through their time in prison. That's a good thing. But this verse also encourages us to pray for their release. And as it is God who controls the hearts of rulers and can influence them, let us regularly ask God to free our brothers and sisters in Christ in jail in many countries around the world. And let's do so regularly. And as we do, it's quite interesting. We might be surprised that they are actually praying for us. Have a look at verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a blessing or prayer for the readers of Hebrews. And in these verses, the writer prays from his cell for them. And indeed, we might say, for us. It's a humbling thing for those who are free to have those who are not free praying for them. But this is what is happening here. And interestingly, again, he asks for two things that we might go, oh, okay, that's a bit different to what we might think. The first is to pray that his readers are equipped for doing God's will. The second is that God would cause them to please him. And in one sense, those two things are the two sides of one coin. The writer wants God to give his readers the godly life. And that means both equipping for obeying God and then doing it, which pleases him, clearly. We would say it's like encouraging them to trust Jesus more and live more like Jesus so that God is pleased. Now, if you're an older senior minister like me, and someone pointed out my grey hair this morning for me, which was really nice of them. I was very appreciative. You might use an oldie word to describe this. And that word is sanctification. Okay, just drop that in conversation every now and then and people will think you're old and learned. Sanctification, the process by which we are shaped and moulded to perfection. Or to put it another way, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. A.K.A. Romans 8, 28 and 29. To become just like Jesus in our character. And what's interesting here is, in one sense, what he doesn't pray for. He doesn't pray that his readers would appreciate their freedom, though that would be a good thing. He doesn't pray for their health, though that's not a bad thing. And he doesn't pray for their happiness. So there's nothing wrong with that. He prays for greater godliness and holiness and Christ-likeness. And friends, that's also something that we should be praying for when we pray for others. It's not that those other things are bad to pray for. They're good things to pray for and we should pray for them. But growth in godliness is the best thing that you can pray for another Christian. To become more and more like Jesus is the best thing for them and for the kingdom. So friends, next time we pray for someone, let's put their growth in godliness at the top of the list. Let's have that in our minds as we pray for them. And then add all those other things in as well. Because there are still good things. Verse 22, we realize something new. Brothers and sisters, I urge you to bear with my word of exhortation. For in fact, I have written to you quite briefly. This is a verse here that reminds us of how short Hebrews actually is. It might seem long to us, as it's taken us most of the year to work our way through. That's partly because we've taken breaks to go and look at other things and then come back. And it's partly because we've done it bit by bit by bit. But the book of Hebrews, if you just picked it up and read it, you could cover in probably around about an hour of just solid reading. Now, that would seem like a heavy read to us and would take us a bit longer, much longer in one sense, at least initially, but that's because we're not first century Jewish Christians who know our Old Testaments back to front, as the original hearers would have. But friends, over the course of this year, we've been getting to understand how Hebrews works. And not only is that good in and of itself, because Hebrews has so much amazing stuff in it, it is good because it helps us to go back to Hebrews later and read it for ourselves. And now, it's less like wading through treacle and more like, well, a solid hike. Still not a walk in the park, but it's a solid hike. It's doable. Studying Hebrews together, as we have done, helps us to read it later for ourselves. And that's why we've done this. So, guess what? It is challenge time. Why not read this short letter, as we've just had described for us, this week? It'll take us about an hour. If you've got a spare hour somewhere in the week, sit down, open the book of Hebrews, and read it. It is something you could do on your own, or with your spouse, or with your family, or with your friend. In fact, you can do it anywhere, at any time, though perhaps not while actually driving. You can listen to it while you're driving. But my encouragement to you, my challenge to you this week, is to open the book of Hebrews and read it in one go. And I think as you read through it, you'll notice things that we've looked at through this year. And you'll go, and it won't be like treacle. It'll be more like a strong hike. So let me say, and I'm going to commit to this, I'm going to do this week. And that means that next week you can come here and ask me if I did it. How's that? Oh, I got a thumbs up. There you go. Someone's going to ask me. But guess what I'm going to do next week? Oh, well, I'm going to read Hebrews and then I'm going to ask you how you've gone. Did you read Hebrews this week? From cover to cover. And the next part of the passage tells us a bit about why it's worth reading. Have a look at verses 23 to 25, the last verses in Hebrews. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If he arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. Greet all your leaders and all the Lord's people. Those from Italy send you their greetings. Grace be with you all. At the end of the book, we have a short section of news and greetings and wishes, and it is something that we could just gloss over, but it actually reveals a bit for us. And the common thread of all these things is Pauline connections. The first and most obvious is the mention of Timothy in verse 23. Have a look at verse 23. Timothy is well known for being the protege of Paul from the book of Acts and the kind of the recipient of a couple of letters from Paul that we call 1 and 2 Timothy. The second is the reference to those from Italy in verse 24. It's well known that the end of the book of Acts finds Paul and his group in Rome, which is in Italy. And the third is the phrase, "the grace be with you all," in verse 25. If that sounds familiar to you, there's a reason it's familiar to you. And that is because you might have read it at the end of 1 Corinthians or Colossians or the book of Titus, all of which were written by the Apostle Paul. Now, does this and the other Pauline features that we've been noticing as we've been going through the book of Hebrews mean that the book was definitively written by Paul? Well, the answer is no and yes. No, it's still possible that someone else other than Paul had written this letter. It's improbable, given the witness within the book and the witness of the early church that assigned Hebrews to the Pauline group of letters. But it's still possible that someone else wrote it. But the answer is yes in another sense. We can definitively say that if the author wasn't Paul, it was someone in his close inner circle. Because the writer knew that inner circle really well. And the writing closely reflects the theology of Paul. And in verse 25, it's sometimes the way of speaking of Paul. You know how when you spend a lot of time with someone, you pick up the ways that they speak a bit? Well, you can see perhaps that's what's happened here. If it's not Paul, it's someone who's spent a lot of time and has picked up Pauline ways of speaking. So we can say yes definitively to authorship within the Pauline group and before AD 70. Why does this matter? Well, it gives us confidence that Hebrews has authority, apostolic authority. It has the Apostle Paul's stamp of approval. And that makes it definitively part of the canon of Scripture, which, of course, the church has always recognized. In other words, it's a legit part of the Bible. And we can have confidence that it carries the authority of one of Jesus' chosen apostles and therefore treat it as God's word to us, which we've been doing all this time. Friends, God's word today in Hebrews has encouraged us in a number of areas. First of all, to pray. So let's make sure we do so. Let's pray for those who are suffering in jail just for following Jesus around the world. Let's pray that they live honorably in their situation, that they are godly as they suffer. And let's pray that God releases them, that He changes their situation. And let's devote ourselves to the reading of Hebrews this week and be inspired to keep trusting and following Jesus. It's been reading all the way through Hebrews. It's about trusting Jesus and not going and trusting anything else, what we used to trust in before Jesus. So friends, let's start by praying now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word, this short word of the book of Hebrews. We thank you that in Hebrews you have challenged us and encouraged us to keep trusting Jesus and living for him instead of turning back and trusting or following anything else. We pray that we would heed the message of Hebrews and do just that. Stick with Jesus. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we would be people of prayer for those who are suffering in jail for Jesus. For the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people around the world who are persecuted because of their faith in Jesus. We pray for them they would be godly and that you would release them. And we pray that we would be students of your word. That having been equipped over the last few months, indeed this year, in looking at Hebrews, we would look at Hebrews regularly and read it ourselves. And as we do, be inspired to keep trusting and following Jesus. And we ask this not just because it would be great for us, but because by doing so, we would honor Jesus and you. Amen.